listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, as always, it's Mr. Mike Giletto Sr. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Very, very wonderful weekend. We had a very momentous day this past Thursday, so it's been a great weekend.
I was going to say, you became a grandfather for the second time. Congratulations, sir.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much. Shout out to producer Mike.
Well, I mean, producer Mike didn't do much, to be fair. His wife probably did most of the work.
Well, he got his end of it done about, nine and a half months ago.
Yeah, you know, but she did all the hard work. So
yes, correct.
Either way, congratulations. We know everybody's doing well, and we're glad to welcome them into the You Would Think family. We grew again.
Yep, it's great to have her. Aria Reese Giletto is her name.
And sounded like you had to think about the last name for a second there. Did you forget your last name?
No, I was just going to say Aria Reese, and we may as well throw her last name onto it.
Let our fans know that you can tweet your congratulations to producer Mike. He's at Mike_Giletto. Make sure to also tweet congratulations to this gentleman right here at Mike from S Jersey. You can also find the show at YWT Podcast, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, all over the place. That was a good weekend for you, and I believe that resulted in you not watching too much All-Star Game coverage. Is that correct?
Correct. It was a very, very busy weekend. I got a little bit in here and there. Saw some of it in delay as I recorded. But I did want to give a shout-out to Aria for one last thing. She's 7 pounds, 15 ounces, so it looks like we're going to have that thumper on the defensive end to clear the crease.
There you go. We'll get her out there early on. We will.
We definitely will.
We'll get her working. I did actually want to mention on that note, part of the All-Star Weekend festivities was that 3-on-3 game. We didn't touch on it last week, but I was really excited about it going in. If you missed it, it was a 3-on-3 game, 2 10-minute halves, Team Canada versus Team USA in 3-on-3 women's action. And honestly, my biggest complaint about the game was the fact that it was a running clock.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, and I didn't like it because you had people scrambling because these women were, they cared, and you could tell. And
yeah, I would think, I didn't see any of it.
Right, as mentioned before, you were right. A little busy.
Yeah, but I would expect, and you tell me, you educate me here and tell me what you saw, I would expect that if the women were given that stage, that you, good or bad, you got everything they got. That had to give, you got it from them. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. Now the women still had fun, still engaged in All-Star festivities, but when it came down to the game, you could tell that they were 1,000% more focused than the men. You know, most of whom had been there before, and the game doesn't really mean much from the men's side, but for these women, it was a showcase on an international scale. And you can ask anybody who watched that game. I didn't want it to end. I don't think anybody did.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
It was really solid, fundamental, fun hockey.
I will say this about women's sports. There's no sport where your woman can compete just physically. I'm talking 10 women versus 10 men. I'm not talking an individual woman. I'm not talking about that. Hockey is what I'll say is women's hockey is so much closer to men's hockey than women's basketball, women's baseball, or softball. They don't even play the same sport, and women's football would be. It's not close. It's not anywhere near the same game as men who are just physically superior. But it's the closest of the four
to being
the same game.
I'd be willing to concede that. Yeah. And you saw that. How far the women's game has come, because I'm sure if you think about women's hockey, you think about no hitting and not really a whole lot of contact, and that's not really the case. They weren't there wasn't a whole lot of full body contact in the open ice, but there were some nice solid checks along the boards.
Nice.
designed to separate the puck carrier.
I was gonna say the chase for the puck, I'm sure, was very real.
Yes, and no one's head hunting. No one's even looking for a big, highlight reel hit. Open ice body checking isn't really much of a thing. But that's not to say the game isn't physical, and it definitely was. And like I said, My biggest problem was the running clock, and it forced.
Yeah, it almost makes it like sends a mess. Yeah, and it sends a message that you know we're only willing to devote so much time to this, and I think that's the wrong message.
Yeah, and giving them the platform was great by the NHL, and yeah, there's a lot going on in the women's game. And,
yeah, but
you know,
if you're
going
to give it to them, yeah, if you're going to give it to them, give it to them.
I agree.
You know, the NFL, and I know we're not an NFL podcast, but the NFL has over the last 10 years embraced the female fan.
Right.
So if you're going to embrace the female fan, embrace the female fan. Don't give them, okay, you're only going to get 20 minutes and that's it.
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's not even about the female fan. It's about the female game. I mean, anybody can appreciate high level
okay,
of
yeah,
skill.
Maybe I should have said it that way. If you're going to embrace the female game, embrace the female game. Don't say, you know, we're not willing to commit more than 20 running minutes to it.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree because, you know, as soon as a goal was scored, the players weren't really allowed to show much in the way of personality because, oh, we got to get back to center and get the puck drop because the clock's moving. And they all made a concerted effort to play as much hockey as possible.
It almost makes it feel like glorified mites on ice.
A little bit. And it
and again, it's just aesthetically, it's the wrong message.
Yeah, and I don't want to disparage the product because the product was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, from what you're saying, it sounds like it was a really, really fun thing to watch.
But the presentation and the credit that it was given by the league wasn't where I thought it should be. I don't think they were given as much respect as they proved that they should have had. Let's put it that way.
Is it possible the NHL didn't expect it to be as good as it was?
I think that's a possibility. And
so, yeah, maybe next year it's different.
Yeah, and Gary Bettman's not stupid. He's not going to agree to let this game happen if he thinks it's going to be a subpar hockey product. So he knows they can play. But I don't know. I'm curious if he expected the women to take the foot off the pedal because it's All-Star Weekend, like the men tend to take their foot off the pedal because it's All-Star Weekend. And I think maybe what was underestimated was these women's desire to prove themselves in the spotlight.
Right. Okay. You know? Well, having the stage and being up to the task of delivering on that stage.
Exactly. And I think maybe they were underestimated a little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
And it was the best hockey of the weekend. And, you know, the All-Star games themselves, the mini tournament, I personally enjoyed it. There were complaints about it being boring and whatever, but those are the complaints from people who just don't like All-Star games.
Well, if the complaint
was... And I think there's some validity to that.
If people's complaints are going to be that it wasn't physical or there wasn't any hitting or things like that, I don't think that's a fair criticism. Only if for no other reason, the NHL's 3-on-3 doesn't have a whole lot of hitting, if any.
No, because you can't afford...
It's hard. If you miss... Yep.
You're done.
You can't afford to miss. So, yeah, you can body a guy, but you can't hit him.
You can lean on him, but you can't throw an open ice body.
No. Nope. Way too dangerous.
No, the best you can do is chase him behind the net and get close enough to pin him to the boards.
Right.
And hold him there. But you're not getting him on the ground. You're not knocking him down. You're not taking him out of the play.
Yeah, your teammate's not coming over to grab the puck after you hit the guy. It's just not happening.
Right. You're not creating an odd man situation with the body. And that's why we see... You know, the skill guys are getting all the overtime. You know what I mean?
Right. That's a totally different game. It's fun. Right. It's fun. I like it. But it's just a totally different game.
Yeah. And then for the All-Star game, obviously it goes up another level because the goalies aren't trying and the guys are trying to do fancy, stupid, you know, fun stuff.
And you got the best of the best skill-wise. So your possibilities of seeing something phenomenal are certainly heightened.
Yeah, and we certainly did see some phenomenal things. There were some really nice moves pulled off. There were some really nice goals scored. It was a fun tournament, and I honestly had a lot of fun with the skills competition, too. Even outside the women's game, which was fantastic again, the skills competitions themselves, the targets were a little bit off because I don't know if you saw any of this, Senior. But they replaced the styrofoam targets that they've always had with like a digital display board.
Right.
And then the glass front of the display had to be changed a couple of times and it slowed the whole process up.
They had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, it would have been way easier just to have styrofoam targets like they had, you know, back in the day.
Right.
You know, even go back to like the ceramic plates if you remember those.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Those got a really nice satisfying shatter when you hit them.
Yep, you could definitely, especially if you cracked, like you really nailed it.
Exactly.
You could even hear a chip, you'd still hear it. But if you got one dead center,
it exploded and there wasn't anything quite as satisfying as that, just to hear these best of the best step up and just 3 out of 4, you know, 4 out of their first 5 shots just shatter those targets.
Right. I mean, out of all the All-Star festivities, you know, the Home Run Derby versus the NFL Skills Competition that was today, God, the hockey one, I'm a hockey guy, but the skills competition for hockey is just so much better. The fastest skater, hardest shot. The 3-point shot in basketball stinks. So what you do with the skills competition is so much more entertaining.
To be fair, basketball does have the dunk contest,
which about 20 years ago, was really, really good.
There will be another generation. They're like, things are cyclical, and I don't follow the NBA. If you know anything about me, I don't follow the NBA. But things are cyclical, and if the dunk contest is bad now, it'll get good. Somebody will innovate. Somebody will change the game. Somebody will, do something new and get it back to being exciting.
I don't know if it's the fact that I enjoy the NHL player, and not that they don't make a disproportionate amount of money, but they're not making $35 million a year like some football players or basketball players. They just seem more humble. And there's just more fun to the game, more fun to the competition. It's just, to me, it's more entertaining. It's not more compelling necessarily, but it certainly seems more entertaining.
I was going to say, I think there's a fine line between humble and boring. I would be willing to call NHL players a little media shy, almost to the point of boring.
Yeah, but I think the fact that they're not coming in with the super ego makes them more playful with one another.
I think that
comes through from an entertainment point of view.
I think there's some validity to that, but either way, that's not new for the NBA. By the way, nobody was more confident than Wilt Chamberlain.
I understood.
Understood. It's not a new concept, but either way. I'd be willing to put the dunk contest up there with the NHL skills competition, because I think the NHL's presentation as a whole is better, but they don't have a single contest that is as good as the dunk contest. Is that fair to say?
I guess I only get so much pleasure out of watching a guy 6'8" dunk a basketball. I mean,
okay, and
going in the hole.
And you can say the same thing about fastest skater or hardest shot. You know, there's some dull contests in the NHL, although there was an upset in fastest skater this year. I don't know if you saw.
Which is very odd.
Barzal beat out Connor McDavid.
Yeah, that is very, very strange.
Right, and that was shocking. But everyone knew going in that Connor McDavid was going to win fastest skater. He didn't, but everyone knew going in. And if somebody tells you they didn't, they're lying to you.
Right.
And everyone knew that Shea Weber was going to win hardest shot.
Yeah.
And Shea Weber won hardest shot.
McDavid not winning fastest skater. It's like, it's like you're having a hardest pitch contest and, Randy Johnson throws an 89-mile-an-hour fastball and loses. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Right.
So it is a major upset.
Yeah, for sure. And it was close enough that, if they raced 10 times, Connor might beat him 9. But this was the one. And for the next 12 months, Matt Barzal is, the fastest skater in the NHL.
And there's really not a lot to, like, where you could say strategically there was a stride or something or a turn. It's pretty much just fastest skater. So
yeah, they're both pretty close to technically perfect. Yeah. If anything, Barzal actually stumbled a little tiny bit. He misstepped a little tiny bit. So he might. There's an argument that he should have won by a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe Barzal got something in his contract that says if he wins that he gets more money. Who knows?
Maybe. And I think. I think he's still on his rookie deal, so any extra penny for him is a pretty big deal.
It's a big penny, right?
But I believe he's in the final year of his contract. So he'll get his money very shortly.
Yeah, we're not going to cry for Barzal.
No, and now, well, now he gets to negotiate with Lou Lamoriello. So we'll wish him luck there. And we will actually get into the Flyers today on the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. We kind of just got right into the All-Star game right away because it's new and fresh as we sit here and record. You know, the All-Star game was Saturday night.
And it is All-Star weekend, and the Flyers did only have one game this week. So
yeah, right. And we are going to talk about that game because that game... that game was nice. That game was a 3-0 shutout win over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I will never, ever, ever get tired of hearing the phrase shutout win over the Penguins.
Correct. And my take on this game might surprise you a little bit.
Are you going to be positive about something?
Oh, they won the game, and I'm thrilled. And like I said, it's great to bag the 2 points at the home, on the home ice. And now you come out of the break and you go on the road, and you know, you're kind of playing with money.
So that's back to Pittsburgh.
That's all fabulous and wonderful. Anytime you shut out the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm dancing with joy.
Absolutely.
My take on the game, that was more Pittsburgh kind of crapped the bed in the game. They really did. They didn't do much with it. 17 shots, 18 shots.
I think it was 19, but either way,
they really didn't play a good game.
No.
So I'm only going to, not that I'm not going to credit the Flyers for taking advantage of it and play a real good game. And they didn't give up anything that even was close to a goal that I remember.
No.
Brian
Elliott looked good, but he didn't really have to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember him doing anything out of the routine save. It was probably the easiest shutout he'll ever have.
It's up there for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Way to go, Flyers. I'm clapping for you, and I'm happy. Hooray, we shout out the Penguins. I'll always love that. But I'm only going to take so much, you know, long-term happiness as far as where the team's headed, because I really don't think we got the Penguins' best that night. I really don't.
I don't either, but at the same time, you might not have gotten the Flyers' best. The Flyers played well.
Yeah, look, and they were still 30-13 going into the game. Terrific team, Pittsburgh, and it's a great win. What I'm saying is I don't think it wasn't a game for the ages. It wasn't a up and down, you know, two fighters, one's on the rope, get hit,
it
gets
wasn't
up,
a slugfest.
They weren't throwing punches back and forth. The Flyers seemed to be throwing all the punches.
It was a nice, clean, unanimous decision. Yeah. That's what it was. It wasn't a knockout.
Yeah, correct.
But it was a nice, clean, you won by 4 points on every judge's scorecard.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a...
It wasn't really all that close. You took it going away.
It was like a Mayweather fight. He pointed you to death, but there was really nothing exciting to watch. Not a whole lot of action.
by about the seventh or eighth round, you knew, he had won all the rounds, so you better knock him out if you're taking him.
Correct.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And the Penguins definitely did not seem like they were up for for throwing any knockout punches.
No, and that's fine because
The Flyers shut out a very good hockey team, which is the positive.
And that's the kind of team that coming down the stretch. I teased it on last week's show. I do want to take a little bit of a look ahead at the Flyers' February schedule. But, you know, you got a lot of really important games coming up, and beating Pittsburgh is a good way to start. You know, I also think it's a huge, huge, huge deal that you win going out of the bye week
into, yeah. Hey, look, winning a 3-0 game with maybe a somewhat less than spirited Pittsburgh Penguins team, way better than losing a game you play great and get Vasilevskied and lose to Tampa Bay 1-0. This was way better than them playing great and losing to Tampa. Way better.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So if I sound like Debbie Downer, I don't. That's not the way it's intended.
No, and you know, just for what it's worth, Jake Voracek did have another point in that game. Just so you know.
Yep. No, please. Because
now that you've decided that he's your big villain, you know he's going to step it up for the rest of the season now.
What did I say the game before the Penguins game about Jake?
I don't remember.
Played his best game as a Flyer and had his best week as a Flyer.
Yeah, that's why last week's show was called Jake's Best Week.
Yeah. When I see Jake play the way he should play, coupled with what he can do, That's the combo I'm looking for. Give me what you can do, the special, and give me what the hockey player is supposed to do, which is the routine. Put that together, now we got something. And he hopefully is going to give us more of that.
Yeah, and he scored his 10th of the season that night. And I do want to give the Flyers credit. They scored their 2 goals in the second period. Take a guess how many shots they gave up in the third. because
three.
What we're used to is you sit back and give up 10, 12, 15 shots in the third and blow the lead. The Flyers gave up three shots in the third period of that game.
Okay.
Now, they only took eight. It was a pretty low event third period, to be honest.
Right.
And one of those eight was Braun's 180-foot empty netter.
Right.
But they only took eight shots in the third period. It was a pretty low event third, but they shut the game down. And
right. They weren't playing in any kind of panic mode. They weren't playing in any protection mode. There may have only been eight shots, but they had puck possession.
They're a little dump and chase. They play cautious, but overall they shut the door, and you'd rather play the trap.
Oh, I think they played
at the red line than at your own blue line. Yeah, I think
they played puck possession more so than played cautious. They were, and look, as a whole, there were, again, multiple times, multiple defensemen, and I was Mike gets very mad at me because I'll constantly stop the game and rewind and show him something. He's like, Dad, I just want to watch the game. I'm like, Mike, watch what the defenseman does here. He's got two guys on him, and he doesn't just throw the puck up on the boards. He keeps the puck, waits for help. And if somebody's going to take it from me, fine. You may take it from me, but I'm not giving it to you. They're getting every game. They're getting a little bit better at that all the time. And I have to believe that's coming from Vigneault.
And I was going to say, I think it's time that we revisit the comment you made in November about the system not working. And if you recall, you got pretty vehement about, well, if the system's not working by now, when's it going to work? And you had kind of given up on Vigneault. And it was early.
No, I definitely did not give up on Vigneault. No.
You expressed serious doubts. How about that?
When they played those back-to-back games against the Islanders and the Penguins, okay?
Right.
I expressed serious concerns that these players, okay, because I like Vigneault, were ever going to be anything other than what they were under Hakstol. Because those two efforts were so bad. And maybe that's what Vigneault needed to be able to point to them and say, you just can't, this will not be tolerated. Maybe your team has to do that for the coach to react in such a way that this just is not going to happen.
You have to hit rock bottom before you can start. You got to break them down before you can start building them back up.
And I'm not
going
to say after that Pittsburgh game and the Islanders game that that every game that they've played every period has been, you know, just, you know, balls to the wall, max effort 90% of the time, all the time, or 100% all the time.
Overall much better.
They may have a game or a portion of a game where they're not max effort. You know, they may
Like that Montreal game from a couple of weeks ago that Vigneault was pretty critical afterwards.
Right, which I thought it actually was a little too critical, but
I agree, but he's holding the players accountable.
Exactly. The one
he has now raised the standard of what he expects out of his
players.
Even
the 1-4-1 road trip that they had, the effort was not over a 2 and 3 game period like that. I would question their effort in Los Angeles. They just either weren't ready to play or something was amiss. But they, even though they lost four games on that trip and one and another in overtime, there were never a 2 or 3 stretch game where I questioned their desire.
They got the ship righted fairly quickly, even without getting
those
the wins.
Two games back in November, I questioned their desire. I questioned their want to. And thankfully, they put most of that to bed. Not all of it for me, but most of it.
Well, good. That allows us to look forward. So let's kind of look, because we're starting to get towards the stretch run, honestly.
Right.
The next big league checkpoint is the trade deadline.
Which is, what, about 10 to 14 days away?
No, it's closer to 4 weeks.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
I believe it's February 23rd or 24th this year.
That's late.
But I'm not sure.
Did they move it back?
No, I think it's actually early. It's usually the very end of February. It's actually a couple days early this year.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't. It should be earlier, but whatever.
Either way, it's about 4 weeks from now. Real quick, there's not a ton of moves. Top of your head, do you know there's anything you'd like the Flyers to look at here? Anything they could add or
if they can get the right forward for the right price, they really need another body.
Would you have any interest in bringing Wayne Simmonds back for a bottom six role?
Depending on what you give up for him. Yeah.
Okay. He's in New Jersey, and given the Flyers cap situation, I can't imagine a deal where New Jersey's not retaining. But that gets Wayne Simmonds down to about $2.5 million, and the Flyers can probably squeeze that in. I'm not really willing to give up more than, say,
fifth. Yeah, I would say third or fourth rounder at most.
But Wayne just, I would love it. But I don't necessarily know if it's the correct hockey decision.
Again, depending on what you give up. Yeah, you're certainly, you give up a fourth rounder. Let's split the baby, say, from 3 to 5, and let's say you give up a 4. You're not setting your organization back.
Right. Unless
you're the greatest drafter in the history of drafting, your fourth rounder is never going to kill you.
Right. In addition to the trade deadline, it is just a big month. Like, I'm looking at the Flyers schedule from now until, you know, February 29th, March 1st, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of games against the East Coast, or against the Eastern Conference, rather. Your games against the Western Conference, you have Colorado, which is this coming Saturday. You have Winnipeg and San Jose at the end of the month, and that's it.
Right.
The rest of your schedule, you got Pittsburgh, Detroit, New Jersey, Washington, Florida, the Islanders, Florida again, Tampa, Columbus in a home and home. Then you got Winnipeg, San Jose, and then you finish the month with a home and home against the Rangers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm glad they play the East all that, because their record against the West isn't all that good, even though they're the inferior conference, if you ask me. But they certainly haven't played as well against the West as they have the East. So I'm looking at that as a positive, even though they're on paper harder games.
We've played better, and they're more impactful for the playoff race. You know, looking ahead, Pittsburgh is sitting ahead of the Flyers in the standings right now. Washington is at the top of the division. Florida is desperately trying to hang on to remaining relevant to the playoff conversation, but I don't think they're going to make it. The Islanders are in a playoff spot. Tampa looks like Tampa's on fire again.
Right? Do you
Columbus? That home and home with Columbus towards the end of the month, the 18th and 20th,
that could be huge.
Are looking to be huge games.
Hopefully not, but they could be huge.
Right now, the Flyers are 2 points behind Columbus. Columbus is sitting in the first wild card spot. The Flyers are sitting just outside on the bubble. Those games are going to be enormous. Unless one team or the other falls off the cliff,
than they look right now, because we've done all the winning, and they've come back to the pack a little bit.
Right. And then you have Winnipeg and San Jose, West Coast, their home games. You're not traveling. That's fantastic. A bunch of days off, a couple of 2-day breaks in here.
Right.
Flyers should get plenty of time to get healthy. We should see Carter Hart back. You know, obviously we're still hopeful for Nolan Patrick, but we're still not hearing anything on him. Hopefully the team can use this month with a relatively light workload to get healthy, because honestly, it doesn't get much better in March. You know, looking towards March, you got games against Washington, you got games against Boston, Tampa, St. Louis, the Islanders again, Pittsburgh again, with other games mixed in between.
You really want to use your February to set up your March, 100%.
Yeah, you want to set yourself up so that you don't have to go, you know, 12-4 down the stretch. Right.
Now, do you know this Pittsburgh game coming out of the break for us? Is it also Pittsburgh's first game out of the break?
Yes. It is the longest home and home in history.
By all expectations, at least in my mind, we are absolutely going to get Pittsburgh's best. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
If the Flyers win this game, I think it sets up the post break for, like, they could win the game and then, you know, lose 3 in a row. You play the games, you never know what's going to happen. But I think if you're able to go punch for punch with them in Pittsburgh, know you're going to get their best, and you win that game, I think that's just huge, a huge statement and a huge positive going forward into the second you know, not second half because we're already, but into the post All-Star break schedule. I think it'll be a real big boost.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this back-to-back here is, God, it's something we've talked about a ton. It really is a litmus test because you have Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and then you come home the next day and play Colorado on home ice.
Yeah.
And Colorado's a great team. And if you get three out of four this weekend,
oh, that's huge.
You're pretty happy regardless of the configuration of those 3 points.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Obviously, you'd prefer to beat Pittsburgh, preferably in regulation, but
yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't see us catching them anyway, but right. if we beat them in regulation, we're 4 points closer than we were a week ago.
Exactly. And then depending on Carter Hart's status, maybe he's ready to go against Colorado. I think a lot of that game is going to depend on if he's ready.
Yeah, I don't think they'll rush him. But if he's ready, I really, really rather not him goalie one of those two games.
Not against either of those teams. I'm okay with him playing the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, I'm okay with him playing against San Jose.
I'm not okay with him playing against Nathan MacKinnon and Gabe Landeskog and Cale Makar and, oh, by the way, Mikko Rantanen. I'd rather avoid that if possible.
Probably irritated and a little bit angry Pittsburgh team. I don't want to play in them either.
Right. Exactly. I think you have to start Brian Elliott in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to, because you got to put your best foot forward. Because like you just said, you're getting Pittsburgh's best.
You would certainly expect it.
And Pittsburgh is the game that you have to try to go for, because that's the division game. That's the conference game. That's the playoff race game. Colorado, sure, it would be nice to snag a point or two off them. But you absolutely, I don't want to say you have to, but it would be really, really, really fantastic if you could get at least one off of Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yeah, I think three out of four in those two games in any form, 3 out of 4 points is a major accomplishment and, just another significant step forward to securing a playoff spot, which, like, at the end of the day, the number one main goal in any form is a playoff spot. If this team gets a playoff spot this year, no matter what, it's a successful season.
For sure. And
the higher seed would be better, and you know all that stuff. Avoiding Washington or Boston in the first round would be better. But getting in is everything.
This team. So the NHL is so fair. There's so much parity. Any team can do damage once they get in the playoffs. Yeah. And watching this Flyers team, when they're on, when they're playing at 100%, when everything is clicking, they can skate with any team in the league.
Yeah, like I said, we said it a show or two ago. If this team does get a Washington or a Boston matchup in round one, it should, and I would expect it to look much different than their last two first round matchups.
For sure, and it's funny because you look at some of the juggernaut teams in the NHL, right? You look at Boston, you look at Colorado, and you look at Washington. And these teams are kind of built around the same thing. One great line. For the most part. All right, Washington is deeper than that. Washington and Boston both have excellent goaltenders. There's more to it than that. But from a forward matchup perspective in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I like the Flyers matchup against these teams with one killer line. Because say the Flyers are a wild card team and you get Boston. You have Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand. That's great. That's a great line. One of the best lines in hockey. I'm going to combat that. If I'm Elaine Vigneault, I'm going to put Sean Couturier, Kevin Hayes, and whoever. It doesn't even matter who your third forward is. And they're going to neutralize that line
to the best of their ability. Look, if you go into a series with Boston and let's say the series goes six games, whoever wins, let's say it goes six. If you can play that top line at a Boston +4, +5, even +6 over six games, you can win that series.
Absolutely.
Because I think we're deeper than they are after.
That's exactly what I was getting to.
You can go +3 on the second line, +2 on the third line, +4 on the fourth line, And, you know, I think we can go plus on the D as well. Now, if yes. That's all, of course, assuming we get the Carter Hart that outplays Tuukka Rask, and he's a plus three over Rask as well.
I don't necessarily think he has to outplay Tuukka Rask. I think he has to remain in the conversation with Tuukka Rask. I think he can play at a level that gets him in the conversation with Rask.
That's fair.
I'm not willing to put on him yet that he has to outplay Tuukka Rask. Because if you're expecting him to outplay Tuukka Rask at 21 years old, you're putting unfair expectations on the kid in his first playoff series.
I'm not saying I expect it. I'm saying if they're going to win, he's probably going to have to.
I get what you're saying.
Because Boston is the better team.
Okay.
So you would expect that they're going to, at some portions of the game, outplay us. I'm not, and they're going to be, for sure. Every portion we outplay them. Again, if they do play either of those two matchups, they will not get pushed around the way they got pushed around by Washington and Pittsburgh the last two first round playoff series that we had. Again, if they do, I'll be shocked.
And that's my thing is the last two times it looked like the Flyers were going to make the playoffs. Pittsburgh and Washington. There were teams down the stretch that I wanted to avoid, that I was worried about, that I would rather them not face. I really don't care who they face. I think they can play with anybody. Now, yeah, sure, I would rather them play the Islanders than the Capitals.
Sure.
But I'm not scared of the Capitals. I'm not scared of the Bruins. I'm not scared of Tampa. I think the Flyers can hang with Tampa. I'm not saying they beat them. But I think they take Tampa to six. I don't think that's
the only difference. No, I think they could. The only difference, look, if you have to play Tampa, the time to get them is in the first round. If you end up having to play them, you want to play them in the first round. But that's a whole other conversation.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no,
they're coming on strong. Yeah, but either way.
But if you're going to get them, if they're going to be vulnerable, they're going to be vulnerable in the first round. If you can, you know, using that boxing analogy, if you can land that punch that stings them. You know, win that game that you're not supposed to win early. Like, you know, who knocked them out last? Who knocked them out last year? Was it Columbus? Who?
Columbus swept them.
They were losing what, 3-0 in the first game, Columbus,
in the first period.
And again, they got up, they landed, they hit them with a punch, and won a game that they were not, by all accounts, not supposed to win. So if you can do that again to them in the first round, take a game that Tampa knows that they should have won. That's where the crack is. Once they win that first round, they're going to get harder to play in the second round. That's what I mean.
Absolutely. Once they get over the hump, it's like when Washington finally beat Pittsburgh in the second round. There's no way they're losing the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no way. It's just not happening. I get what you're saying, and I think that's a tidy little wrap up for our Flyers conversation. There really wasn't much that happened this week, and then moving forward, like I said, we just kind of have that back-to-back with Pittsburgh and Colorado.
Yep, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a fun weekend. Those are two games I'm really, really looking forward to.
Absolutely, and it's Friday night, Saturday
night. Yeah, it's
nice.
It's sweet.
Both in prime time. A nice little back-to-back. But I did want to do one other thing this week on this week's show. I wanted to talk about the All-Star game. We talked about the All-Star game. I wanted to do a little bit of a fantasy draft. Now, I talked to you about this a couple days ago, so you could do a little research and think of some things. We're gonna draft our teams, and basically, I'm gonna put a 3-on-3 lineup out on the ice, and you're gonna put a 3-on-3 lineup out on the ice, and we're gonna let our listeners tell us who they think would win this game.
So we're ultimately doing 3-on-3 with a goalie, and that's it, right?
Okay. Correct. Now, we don't have to. Would you like to make a gentleman's agreement to exclude Wayne and Mario?
Well, if you're gonna do the greats of all time, you know, how do you exclude them?
Because I think it because we're only picking three skaters, I think it homogenizes the process a little bit.
All right, let's exclude.
You know who. Whoever picks first picks Wayne. Whoever picks second picks Mario. Okay, now we only have two positions to draft.
Okay.
I would much rather just push those to the side, and they are elevated above and beyond. They're the coaches. They're not involved in this situation. But I will, however, give you the first draft pick.
Okay,
we're just gonna snake it back.
I'm gonna take Bobby Orr.
Okay. Interesting decision. What leads you to that?
The 3-on-3 format mostly, because now I've got the best of both worlds, a guy who can play defense and can skate probably around all three guys you have on your end and still score.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I had a similar thought, and my first pick is Ray Bourque for exactly the same reason.
I think I got the better version, but okay.
I think the fact that that Ray Bourque played more recently works in my favor here. He's used to a faster environment.
I think if you put Bobby Orr in the equipment that today's player plays in, then you have an even faster Bobby Orr.
I understand that, but I think Ray Bourque played against better competition. I think the average NHL player was in much better shape during Ray Bourque's career than the average NHL player.
But Bobby Orr's going to be in better shape if he were playing today.
Of course. So it depends on if we're playing today or if we're plucking everybody out of time. It's a complicated question. But either way, we both have our defensemen out of the way. I don't know about you, but I'm only picking one defenseman. Okay, so should you pick or should I pick again?
We'll snake. Go ahead, we can snake.
Okay, so I get to pick again, mm-hmm. huh? So I'll talk you through my decision process here. Part of me.
Well, don't give anything away that's gonna let me take your next pick. But go ahead.
So part of me wants to grab a centerman because I think. Winning the draw is important in the 3-on-3 and retaining possession. I'm not going to lie. My age probably had something to do with this. I considered Patrice Bergeron.
Okay.
But then I can't pick two Bruins. I just can't do it. I just can't. Let's pretend I picked Colorado Avalanche, Ray Bourque. for all 4 months. You know what? If we're excluding Gretzky and we're excluding Lemieux, there is another Oiler that was involved in some of those Stanley Cups, and he might have been involved in one in New York, too. I'm going to pick Mark Messier.
That's a fantastic pick.
He kind of does everything I need him to do.
He does everything a hockey player could ever need to be asked to do.
And that's why I think he's going to be a Swiss Army knife against whatever monstrosity you unleash upon me.
Here's the ultimate compliment to Mark Messier. Stanley Cups won by Wayne Gretzky without Mark Messier. 0. Stanley Cups won by Mark Messier without Wayne Gretzky. 2. It's everything you need to know. I'm not saying he's better than Gretzky. Everybody relax. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
how many times did Gretzky predict a series?
He might be.
How many times did Gretzky guarantee victory?
I understand. You will not find a bigger Mark Messier fan on the planet. Well, maybe some Edmonton guys, maybe some New York people, but I am a huge,
definitely not Vancouver,
huge
fans.
Mark Messier fan. Okay, fantastic pick. I'm going to end up with a great team. He may be as high on the list as he is from a lot of people. He may still be, as revered as he is, he may still be one of the most underrated players in sports.
I absolutely agree with that statement.
Forget hockey history. Yep. He's just a phenomenal, phenomenal player. Yeah.
That is an absolute 100% true.
I will give you kudos for that pick.
I am sitting with Ray Bourque and Mark Messier on my roster. You have
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr.
I am going to team him because I can see Bobby feeding this guy, and I don't know how you're going to stop him, but I will take the Rocket, Maurice Richard.
Okay.
Who was the first to 50 and 50?
The
first to 50 and 50, who at the time of his retirement had probably every scoring record there was, every record that Gretzky broke, he broke a Rocket Richard record.
Okay,
so that's who I will take with my second forward. I'm sorry, as my first forward, second player.
I understand. You now get to make your third selection.
And here's where, I can't say that because
So you got a winger and a goalie you're looking for last.
Yeah, right? And I was going to go goalie, but I'm not, and I'll explain why after. So I'm going to go, and this is it's going to surprise you. I'm going to go Sid the Kid. I'm going to go Sid Crosby.
You and I are thinking along very similar lines here. Yeah. Okay. So talk to me. About why Sid deserves the spot.
If it was the 2020. If it was the 2012, 2013 Crosby, he doesn't get anywhere near my he's nowhere near my team. Because Messier, especially after you pick Messier, Messier would chew him up and spit him out and done, over with. He'd leave Sid in the corner crying. But it's a lot more. There's a lot more fight in that dog than I ever thought there could be. Couple that with his skating ability and his talent and his vision and his overall offense, putting him with the Rocket and Orr, I got to have a chance to win any game. I have to at least be in the game.
Yeah.
So that's my fair. Center.
All right, now I'm gonna metagame you a little bit. All right, you got Sid the Kid. You got Rocket Richard. You got Bobby Orr. So you don't have anybody who's lightning quick. You know, Rocket was fast. But I don't know if you have anybody who can keep up with Connor McDavid. And that's who my third pick is.
I think if the game were to actually take place and they were to do the, you know, they're like the Rocky 5, no, Rocky 6, I'm sorry, Rocky Balboa, the simulation, I think you'd be surprised how fast Bobby Orr and Maurice Richard are.
I agree.
If you put McDavid in 1975 skates
in their equipment,
you'd be surprised that he's nowhere near as fast as he is now.
You know what? I'll take Connor McDavid in 1975 skates. Give him about 10 minutes to warm up and get used to him. But just the way he's trained his whole life, I'll still take Connor McDavid in those circumstances. Now, if you take your guys and update them and make them born in 1994 instead of whatever year they were born in, okay, maybe we have a different conversation.
If you put
Connor McDavid in the DeLorean and send him back to a Bobby Orr All-Star game, give him about 10, 15 minutes with the skates to figure it out, I think he skates circles around them.
Well, you know what? He might be faster because he's not lugging all that like luggage on his back like those 12 or 13 or 14 Stanley Cups my guys are carrying.
Sure.
So, yeah. So no, he might be a little lighter.
That is a completely valid point. Now we get to what I think is the hardest decision here. And that's our goaltender, and I get to pick first here. I don't even know if that's a good thing.
I think we both did the same thing. There's a 1 and a 1A, so there's really no reason to pick one earlier.
See, you say that.
Maybe my one is different than your one.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure I'm going Marty.
Bob, I'll let you finish. I'm sorry, God. I'll let you actually make the selection first.
And I don't love it. Just as a Flyers fan, you know, you and I have talked a lot about liking a player and respecting a player and et cetera.
I hate his guts.
Hated his guts.
Still do.
But like in the same way that you pick Sid because you think he's the best pick, I don't think there's anybody better than Marty, because especially if we're playing without that stupid trapezoid, because the puck gets dumped in. Marty's basically a fourth skater.
Well, you are playing with the trapezoid.
When it comes to either way, Marty's going to be handling the puck almost like a forward, and I think in a 4-on-4 game where the caliber of play is going to be this high, right? We have Hall of Famers and potential future Hall of Famers and guaranteed future Hall of Famers in Crosby's case. All right, I think having an extra forward out there sounds pretty good, and Marty's going to move the puck.
I understand, and the guy I have is no stranger to moving the puck. He's not Marty Brodeur in that regard. He's Marty Brodeur in every other aspect, maybe even better in some aspects. In doing the research for this, I was surprised at almost every list I saw had him rated above Brodeur, which I was waiting for you to finish. I'm taking Brodeur all day long. To me, top 10 player of all time, top goalie of all time.
Okay.
You know, 100%. You picked the right guy. But
I'm kind of surprised because when you say there's a clear 1A and 1B, I completely disagree. But I'm glad I got one of the guys
Patrick Roy. He's clearly that's on almost every list I saw. Again, doing my research, Roy was actually rated ahead, and I don't really understand it because in my mind he's not. I'm taking Brodeur almost every single time. Over Roy.
We're also talking in a different context here, specifically in this conversation. I think Hextall deserves a look because he would be a lot of fun in 3-on-3.
Yeah, but ultimately, at the end of the day, if you want to win, it's mostly about stopping the puck.
I think Dominik Hasek has a conversation here.
You know what? He might be the best guy for 3-on-3 because you're looking for, you know, that acrobatic,
that energy,
you know, crazy, oh my God, how did he make that save? You're going to face more of that in 3-on-3 than you would in a normal hockey game. So
he has the ability to make the spectacular save.
Again, I'll still take the guy again that has all that hardware on his back. I know Dominik won one. I'm not, you know.
Hey, listen, I'm not in any way knocking any of your picks. I think you had a great team. Why don't you run through your team one more time?
Bobby Orr.
Okay.
Maurice, 50-50, the first to do it. Rocket Richard. Sid the Kid. Backboned by Patrick Roy.
Yep. And I had Ray Bourque. I had Mark Messier. I had Connor McDavid. Good luck. And in net, we got Marty Brodeur. So, you know, how it's going to work is Mess is going to win the faceoff. Bourque's going to snap it up with McDavid. McDavid turns the Jets on, and you're done. It's over.
Are we playing one game, or are we playing like 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons? There's a reason. I'm asking because for one game I like my team. For 5, 6, 7 years I like your team because McDavid's going to learn a lot from Messier. He's going to learn how to do it all.
You know what? I'm thinking about it. I believe all these players are available in NHL 20. I might have to simulate.
There you go. Let's see what happens.
Either way, those are our teams. You guys can let us know what you think. Let us know who your team is. Obviously, the draft added a little bit of a different element to it. Let us know who we forgot, who we missed out on. Who would be on your team if you participated in this draft? You can do that on Twitter, at YWTPodcast. You can find Mike at Mike from S Jersey and producer Mike at Mike _Giletto. Make sure to congratulate him on the birth of his child.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much everywhere. You know the drill by now. SportsTalkPhily.com. Don't forget to give them a follow at SportsTalkPHL and at Flyerdelphia. And is there anything else you had on the docket?
No, this sounds like a good place to wrap it up. I'm really looking forward to, like I said, this Pittsburgh, Colorado weekend, and everybody enjoy it. Have a ton of fun with it. Get your popcorn ready, like I said, and have a couple of cold ones.
Yeah, and you know, on our way out here, that's it for the regular show, and you can feel free to click off now. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Kobe Bryant today. News broke a couple hours before we recorded, and obviously, he's a Philly guy, and his relationship with Philly wasn't always the smoothest. But I think in his later years, the city really kind of grew to respect him. And obviously, it's a tragedy hearing what came out today, and details are still kind of emerging. So in the interest of not saying anything untoward here, we're just going to say that he passed away, and the details are still emerging, and we want to wish the best to his family, his loved ones, and you know, rest in peace. We respect Kobe here on this show.
Yes, well said, and that just a terrible situation and terrible news, and I don't even know what to say. So we could not say anything. So I think you handled it well.
Well, I appreciate that, and we definitely felt the need to mention it. So our as cliche as it sounds, our thoughts and prayers are with his friends and family at this time, and we wish them the best.
Absolutely.
And until then, we'll see you guys next week. Hug your loved ones.